Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1262, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this week's show, we'll hear from all the members of the Crockett family, and although it's not his birthday, more from Bert Shepherd. In other segments, we'll do some smiling, go absolutely nowhere, and don some jackets. Last week, I played What's That Taste Like Gravy by King David's Jug Band, King David being David Crockett. In this segment, we're going to hear from all the members of the Crockett family, which was led by John Harvey Crockett, better known as Dad, born April 28, 1877 in West Virginia. He grew up and raised his family in Bath County, Kentucky, played fiddle and banjo, and was accompanied by five of his children, George, Johnny, Alan, Clarence, and Albert. In the late 1920s, the family moved to Fowler in California's Central Valley, and became one of the most widely known hillbilly groups of the 78 RPM era, recording prolifically from 1928 to 1931 in both Los Angeles and New York. When the family band broke up, Alan Crockett continued his musical career as champion fiddler with the Prairie Ramblers until 1947, when he committed suicide at age 39. But here, from earlier, happier times, are three from the Crockett Family Mountaineers. Thank you. We started and ended that Crockett Family set with parts 1 and 2 of Medley of Old Time Dance Tunes from Brunswick 291, recorded November 12, 1928 in Los Angeles. The tunes in part 1 were Husking Bee, Old Molly Hare, Wild Horse, Soldier's Joy, and Arkansas Traveler. And those in part 2 were Sourwood Mountain, Sally in the Garden, and Sally Gooden. How many of those did you recognize? In between was a tune popular in the Blue Ridge Mountains known by any number of names, including Jimmy Johnson, Pass That Jug Around the Hill, John Brown's Dream, Pretty Little Gal, Table Mountain Road, and the title used by the Crockett, Kentucky Mountaineers on their May 1931 recording on Crown 3172, Little Rabbit and Rabbit, Where's Your Mammy? And by the way, Sourwood Mountain is located in Jefferson County, Tennessee, with an elevation of 1,423 feet. Mountain? I think not. The highest point here on Catalina Island is Mount Orizaba at 2,097 feet, which isn't really a mountain either. Not to make a mountain out of a molehill, but mountains are generally taller than 3,281 feet in height. That's 1,000 meters. Although the U.S. Geological Survey says there is no official difference between a mountain and a hill. I'm the mountainous Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week I played What a Mouth by Burt Shepherd, and promised more from him this week. This isn't a birthday segment, because the closest I could come to a date of birth for him is the year 1855 or 56 in Oneida County, New York. I don't have a lot of biographical information on him either. His full name is George Grove Burt Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D, and he is not to be confused with Burt Shepherd, spelled exactly the same, the champion Australian whip snapper, who put on thrilling exhibitions with his 20-foot whip in the early 1900s. Our Burt Shepherd married actress and opera singer Ida Fanny Fitzhugh in Chicago on May 3, 1892. At the time, they were both members of the Tuxedo Company, which was playing an engagement at the Haymarket Theater. And you'll recall that the song Ta-ra-ra Boom-Dee was introduced in the vaudeville show Tuxedo. Other groups with which Shepherd was associated were Burt Shepherd's Refined Modern Minstrels in 1891, Rice and Shepherd Minstrels with Billy Rice, and Dockstetter Shepherd and Grow. Burt Shepherd died in Kent, England on April 23, 1913. He made several dozen recordings for Victor at the turn of the century, and here are four of them.
Women and men, I have heard people say, are unlike each other in every way. But I will prove that 9 times out of 10, men are like women and women like men. Women sometimes like to color their cheeks until they're as red roses. But while we have women with blooming red cheeks, there are men who've got blooming red noses. Women, they say, whether pretty or plain, more often than not are exceedingly vain. Where there's a glass, they look in it with pride. So will a man if there's whiskey inside. Men who keep drinking will often get tight. That's right, and it couldn't be righter. But 20-inch stays round a 29 waist make a woman a jolly sight tighter. Feminine wearing apparel looks nice, but then so it ought to, considering the price. Still, after all, the fact must be confessed, we all like to see women gracefully dressed. Men wears the trousers and ought to be bossed, but one thing I'm bound to say, which is that to judge by the look of some married men here, there are lots of wives wearing the breeches. Women, I'm told, are inclined to complain and say in the background they're forced to remain. Man gets the best of it, so they aver, and the world sees a lot more of him than of her. But when you go to the theater or ball, you'll pardon my impudence, won't you? When you see the ladies in evening dress, well, you do see a lot of them, don't you? Some folks assert where there's headworks concerned, this man who the proudest position has earned, Yet many men who have risen to fame declare that their wives all the credit can claim. Men of great learning go bald on the top, and I submit this proposition. Many bald-headed men in this wide world today thank their wives for their hairless condition. You know, I've been terribly puzzled lately. My brain has been in a whirl. I've been wondering, in speaking of a pair of trousers, whether a pair of trousers were plural or singular. That's funny, but I think it all depends. If a man's got a pair of trousers, they're plural. But if a man has not got a pair of trousers, it's singular. That's pretty good, isn't it? In speaking of trousers, I got into great trouble through a pair of trousers not long ago. I was invited to a party, and on my way home, I saw a nice pair of trousers hanging up in a shop window. I said to myself, there's a nice pair of trousers. Just suit me to go to the party. So I went in and bought the trousers. When I got home, I found they were 3 inches too long. So I told my mother, I says, Ma, I'm going to a party tonight, and I bought a pair of trousers 3 inches too long. Would you kindly cut 3 inches off the trousers and hem them up? My mother said, my dear boy, I'd like to see you go to the party and have a good time, but I'm so busy I cannot bother with your trousers. So I went to my oldest sister, Emma, and told Emma. I says, Emma, I'm going to a party tonight, and I bought a pair of trousers 3 inches too long. Would you kindly cut 3 inches off the trousers? Emma says, Johnny, you know I've got so much to do, I can't bother with your trousers. So I went to my other sister, Lucy. I says, Lucy, I'm going to a party tonight, and I bought a pair of trousers 3 inches too long. Kindly cut 3 inches off the trousers. Lucy says, you know very well I've got to meet Jack tonight at 7 o'clock, and I wouldn't disappoint him for the world. You know how peculiar and how particular he is. He just made me a nice present of a bicycle and a Victor talking machine. wouldn't look well to keep him waiting outside, stopping the house, bothering with your trousers. So I went to Esmeralda. That's our housemaid. It's a pretty name, Esmeralda, isn't it? I call her Easy because it's easier. Well, never mind. Let it go. I says, Easy, I'm going to a party tonight, and I bought a pair of trousers 3 inches too long. Will you kindly cut 3 inches off the trousers? Esmeralda says, I've got all my work cut out, and I can't cut off your trousers. So thinks I, the best thing I can do is to cut the trousers off myself. So I went and got a knife and fork, and I cut 3 inches off the trousers, hemmed them up the best I could, threw them over the back of the sofa, and went out to get a drink. While I was gone, my mother, good old soul, she came in and says, well, I suppose John wants to go to the party. So, Mother, she cut 3 inches more off the trousers. She went out, and pretty soon my elder sister came in. She says, I know what boys are. I used to be a boy myself. So she cut 3 inches more off the trousers. And then Lucy came back. Then Esmeralda got through her work much sooner than she expected. So she came in, and she cut 3 inches more off the trousers. And I went to the party, and I wore the trousers. Yes, I wore the trousers. But I wore them for a necktie.
Once on a cannibal isle, there dwelt a dark-eyed maid. Lived all alone in her little log hut in the palm tree shade. And on that island, she reigned as queen. One day a stranger appeared on the sea. Said he, don't waste your time out in this awful clime, but come with me, my pretty southern maid, to my home across the sea. But he went very red when he turned up her nose and said, I wouldn't leave my little wooden hut for you. I've got one lover and I don't want to. What might happen, there is no knowing. If he comes around, so you'd better be going, 'cause I wouldn't leave my little wooden hut for you. Just then some cannibals came in sight with swords and spears, longing for something for supper that night, making ugly leers. That queen said, stranger, you'd better ago. That thief in war paint you see is my foe. Oh, is that true, he said, as towards the stream he fled, and jumped into a boat a-floating there, he would soon clean out of sight. He won't return again. Just to hear that girl explain, I wouldn't leave my little wooden hut for you. I've got one lover and I don't want to. What might happen, there is no knowing. If he comes around, so you'd better be a-going, 'cause I wouldn't leave my little wooden hut for you. You'd never think to look at me that I am quite a plumber. You'd take me for a clergyman, a doctor, or a mummer. 'Twas at a doctor's yesterday, I went to turn on water, when in a lady bustled with a buxom sort of daughter. She said, good morning, sir. I said, good morning, madam. She said, my daughter's suffering with rheumatism of the knee. Maria, show the doctor your knee. I said, stop, madam. I'm not the doctor. I'm the plumber. I'm the plumber. A handyman in winter or in summer. I can wipe a joint with ease, but, well, touching ladies' knees, it's not in my line. No, I'm the plumber. A widow lady lived next door and had one little sonny, and oft I take him on my knee and give him bits of money. The clergyman called yesterday, and he's a new hand, rather. Said he, why, that's a bouncing boy. I suppose, sir, you're the father. I said, no, I'm the plumber. I'm the plumber. A handyman in winter or in summer. My position quite forbids, so I draw the line at kids. Not in my line, no, I'm the plumber. While walking down to work last week, a whistling and a thinking, a lady at a street door said, pray come in, Mr. Jenkins. My husband's very ill indeed, and in his mind quite troubled. Ah, oh, do come in and cheer him up. And tears in her eyes bubbled. I went in like a fool, and I said, I don't know what to say to him. She said, oh, give him words of comfort and joy. I said, well, cheer up, old cock. What's your favorite for the city and suburban? She said, good gracious, what horrid words for a clergyman to utter. Clergyman, says I am not the clergyman. I'm the plumber. I'm the plumber. A handyman in winter or in summer. I can wipe a joint all right, but preach sermons, well, not quite. Not in my line. No, I'm the plumber.
There you have four from minstrel performer and vaudevillian Bert Shepherd. We started with Women and Men, written by English songwriter and arranger Henry Edmund Pether. That's from Victor 4923, November 1st, 1906. Next was Shepherd's monologue, A Talk on Trousers, recorded July 22nd, 1904, issued on Victor 1704. That was followed by I Wouldn't Leave My Little Wooden Hut for You, written by Charles Collins and Tom Mellor. It was first recorded by Albert Whelan in 1904, but we heard Bert Shepherd's November 2nd, 1906 recording on Victor 5062. And we finished up with the humorous song The Plumber. Victor 2992 was also recorded July 22nd, 1904. I don't seem to be able to do so very often because I am usually awakened by the cat demanding to be fed, but it would be nice to always roll out of bed with a smile, like these guys. Thank you.
and the rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo like the rooster used to. How can you go wrong if you roll out of bed with a song? Do you singing in the shower? Vocalize a glad refrain. While you're singing in the shower, all your troubles go bubbling down the drain. Coffee and rolls with your honey turns a gloomy day to a day that's sunny. You'll find it worthwhile if you roll out of bed with a smile.
Do you singing in the shower? Vocalize a glad refrain. And while you're singing in the shower, all your troubles go a-bubbling down the drain. Coffee and rolls with your honey turns a gloomy day to a day that's sunny. You'll find it worthwhile if you roll out of bed with a smile.
Forget and make believe the skies are blue. pulling Bolsheviki by the horn and send him right back where he belongs. What's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by. What's the good of kicking on that poor old landlord? He'll help you out at that, out of your cozy flat. What's the good of frowning? Maybe after a while, living won't be so high. Pork is expensive, you can't keep it home, but you can turn Jewish and leave it alone. So what's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by. Throw away your hammer, blow your little horn. Knocking never does you any good. Fill the country with a lot of harmony. Get together like a loving family. Tell the knockers in your little neighborhood, when they feel like knocking, to knock wood. What's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by. What's the good of fretting over prohibition? You'll never land in jail or drinking ginger ale. Have a little patience, things will come out all right, though for a while we're dry. Our Congress cut out our liquor and beer, but we're going to have a new Congress next year. So what's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by. What's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by. What's the good of kicking over prison prices? We know they're out of range, but they are bound to change. There are lots of things we could be happy about if we would only try. Shoes are now selling at 20 a pair. You don't have to buy them, just walk around bare. So what's the good of kicking? Let's go round with a smile and wait till the clouds roll by.
Dubbed from an unissued Edison Diamond disc on 4-minute Blue Amberol Cylinder 4109, released in 1920, that was Maurice Burkhart with What's the Good of Kicking? Let's Go Round with a Smile. What's the Good of Kicking was written by Walter Donaldson. Before that was the Baltimore Society Orchestra, an Adrian Schubert pseudonym, with Wake Up with a Smile. That's from Oriole 708, recorded in July or August of 1926. We started with George Olson and his music, backing the vocal quartet of Bob Rice, Bob Borger, Jack Gifford, and George Olson, with Roll Out of Bed with a Smile. Joe Young wrote the words and Milton Ager the music, recorded October 30th, 1933, with both takes 1 and 2 on Columbia 2848-D. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. The word utopia has come to mean a place of ideal perfection, but as I found out on Jeopardy a few weeks ago, that isn't the word's original meaning. Formed from Greek words for no and place, it literally means no place or nowhere. So, okay, you're way ahead of me. Here's a set of utopia songs, beginning with the Dixie Stars.
The weary blues have come to stay, surrounded by them night and day. I left my friends and started to roam, and now I have in a friend or a home. It seems I'm always in the way. I'm just a failure, so they say. Never get to no place, got the blues. Always hear some bad news. I'm tired of living, what'll I do when I'm free? this way. Young and smiling faces passing by bring a tear to my eye. And that's the reason how come my poor brain is a-reeling today. Now that I've roamed the whole wide world over, I want a home and fields of wild clover. But it seems lucky I'll be if I get my dream. That's why I'm sighing, gonna find a train track to lay my head. Toot, 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 I'll be dead. I've got the meanest, never getting no place blue.
Thank you. What Don?
I mean that square from Delaware.
Oh, Jack, he's here to see the fair, but he ain't nowhere.
Ow!
Ho, ho, hi! Ho, ho, hi! Ho, ho, hi! Ho, 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 lay it on down.
Now if you think you're doing right, work all day, you stay out all night. Babe, you ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere. And if you think I'm gonna cry when you're high, and so am I. Babe, you ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere. Makes no difference what you do when we're far apart. It's when we're together that you gotta look out for my heart. Now, if you think that I'm a fool, didn't learn nothing when I went to school, babe, you ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere. The chicken or the great big grizzly bear, we know you're not sticking and you really ain't nowhere. Now remember, if you see a square and he's on his way to see the fair, nix him out, cause there's no doubt he ain't nowhere.
Don Redman and his orchestra, with Don himself providing the vocal on You Ain't Nowhere. Redman probably didn't have any trouble remembering the words to the song because he wrote them to Louis Jordan's tune. Bluebird B-10615 was recorded in Victor's New York Studio 3 on January 17, 1940. Django Reinhardt recorded Out of Nowhere twice, both times in Paris, in April of 1937 with Coleman Hawkins, which is the version you usually hear, and again on June 30th, 1939 with the Quintet of the Hot Club of France, which we heard before You Ain't Nowhere. Man, you gotta have a serious case of the blues if you're looking for a train track on which to lay your head. And we started this Utopia set with the Dixie Stars, Al Bernard accompanied on piano by J. Russell Robinson, who gets full credit on the label of Brunswick 2689, with Never Gettin' No Place Blues. The pair recorded Never Gettin' No Place Blues three times, first for Brunswick on August 7, 1924, then for Columbia on January 16, 1925, and again for Victor 5 days later, but that effort was never issued. Robinson and Bernard wrote that with some help from Fran Fry. And remember, Russell in J. Russell Robinson is spelled with only one L. Last weekend, I had the pleasure of having dinner with my friends Bob Lines and Barbara Sunday. If those names sound vaguely familiar, it may be because I've mentioned them on the show as the hosts of the longest-running old-time radio show in the country, Don't Touch That Dial, since 1974. Unfortunately no longer heard over terrestrial radio, they can be heard streaming online at yesterdayusa.net, America's oldest streaming site, playing old-time radio programs 24/7, 365 since 1983. Bob is on the Friday night show at 7:30, and Barbara joins him Sundays at noon Pacific on the Red Network. That's yesterdayusa.net. During dinner, Barbara asked me if I had ever heard of a vocal group called the Four Blue Jackets. The Four Blue Jackets were singers Joseph S. Bryant, Toby Bryant, William S. Graham, James E. Holmes, and pianist Elmer Thomas, who all served in the Navy together and performed R&B and spirituals at the Navy Training Support Center, Great Lakes, and the Chicago area in the 1940s and 50s. They made a number of recordings which are beyond the scope of this program, but make an excellent introduction to this segment about jackets.
Jim Johnson Gray saw a Chinese play. He thought the spooning divine. He had to say, that's some loving way. That's honeymooning for mine. Now I'll talk to Sue like them chopsticks do. She'll hear me crooning so fine. With a chunk or so of some punk glow and a mandolin like a mandarin. Then he sighed for her, then he cried for her like a king. My Nelman dies, my sunlit skies. You bunch of rareness so fair, you breath of soft summer air, you sweet geranium fair, I love you more than tea, dear. Oh, those rosebud lips, those honey sips, why let like jingling for? I'll make a lady of you if you'll be my yellow jacket girl. My almond eyes, my sunlit skies. You bunch of rareness so fair, you breath of salt from our air, you sweet geranium fair, I love you more than tea, dear. Oh, those rosebud lips, I'd eat chop suey for you. Oh, those honey sips, I know I'd enjoy it too. Why, like singling for, I'll make a lady of you if you'll be my yellow jacket girl.
She was a maiden fair and young on the pleasant banks of Lee. No bird that in the green wood sung was half so blithe and free. Her heart ne'er beat with flying feet, no love sang her his queen. Till down the glen rode Sarsfield's men, and they wore their jackets green. No hoarded wealth did her love own, save the good sword that he bore. But she loved him for himself alone and the color bright he wore. For had he come in England's red to make her England's queen, she'd rove the high green hills instead for the sake of his jacket green. When William stormed with shot and shell at the walls of Garryowen, in the breach of death young Donald fell, and he sleeps near the treaty stone. That breach the foeman never crossed while he swung his broadsword keen. She does not weep her darling lost, for he died in his jacket green. Oh, Ireland, sad is thy lonely soul, and loud beats the winter sea. But sadder and higher the wild waves roll from the hearts that break for thee. Yet grief shall come to our heartless foes, and their thrones in the dust be seen. So Irish maids love none but those who wear the jackets green. Yet grief shall come to our heartless foes, and their thrones in the dust be seen. So Irish maids love none but those who wear the jackets green.
The Blue Jackets, march, played by the Innisfail Military Band.
The name of that tune may be the Blue Jackets, but it has nothing to do with the Four Blue Jackets vocal quartet. But like the Columbus, Ohio Blue Jackets hockey team, it refers to the uniforms worn by Union soldiers in the Civil War. It was written by Charles William Bennett in 1905 and recorded the following year by a number of bands, including the Edison Military Band on 2-minute gold-molded cylinder number 9201. Before the Blue Jackets, we heard Irish singer-songwriter Seamus O'Doherty with the Jackets Green from Columbia 33442-F. The Jackets Green is an Irish ballad written by Michael Scanlon, about a young woman who laments the death of her lover fighting under Patrick Sarsfield in the Jacobite army during the Williamite War of the late 17th century. It's historically inaccurate, as the Irish Brigade actually wore red uniforms. Although not as well remembered as fellow Irish tenor John McCormack, with a total of 86 sides, Seamus O'Doherty made more records than McCormack. We started that jacket set with My Yellow Jacket Girl, sung there by Al Jolson on Victor 17318 from March 7, 1913. Harold Richard Atteridge wrote the words and Gene Schwartz the music, and Jolson sings it in the second act of the musical Honeymoon Express, which opened at the Winter Garden Theater on February 6, 1913, and ran for 156 performances. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to rapidly rotating records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.